Hello, everyone. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're bringing you our weekly podcast called Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Kristen and I met a few years ago through a mom's club in our town, but our friendship really took off when we started sharing the heartaches and successes we both experienced in raising our children in blended families.
We hope to share insights, stories, and a few laughs with you on this crazy and rewarding journey of parenting. So grab your glass of wine, and if something we share resonates with you, let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 8 of The Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Our episode today is Tis the Season to be Merry, How to Truly Enjoy Your Blended Family During the Holidays. So, how are you, Miss Carrie?
I'm great, Kristen. Time to be merry. Let's get it on.
Yes, ma'am. So, funny story. So, you and I saw each other on Sunday in the midst of our holiday season shopping. You had kids in tow. I was on a mission, kid free.
Yep.
To get some shopping done. So we wanted to talk about a few points this episode about how to manage the holidays and how to truly enjoy the season, given all the stress that can come along with regular families and blended families. So how are you feeling about the holidays?
So far, so good this year. You know, we kind of in our family have a pretty set plan that doesn't alternate too much each year. You know, every year does present some different changes as the kids get older and there's, you know, more believing in Santa, less believing in Santa, those kind of things. So it always changes the dynamic a little bit. But as far as like the blended part goes, we have a pretty set schedule. So I think, I don't know, I don't feel too stressed out about it this year. How about you?
So my schedule is changing a little bit this year, which is presenting a different type of stress. But I will say, as anybody knows that is part of a blended family, you know, the ever-changing schedule is just something you learn to adapt with and just, you know, become part of your flow. So I've noticed that even though it kind of stresses me out, that I'm just like, okay, that's fine. I'm going to have this one on this day and this one on the other day. And how am I going to make this all work? And I actually have spent less time kind of like proportioning it all out. And I'm just really trying to enjoy the whole holiday. So even though it's not probably, you know, a couple of years ago what I envisioned it to be, it's actually totally fine. So we wanted to share some thoughts. So the first thing that we came up with of how to enjoy the season is lowering the guilt. So giving your kids permission to enjoy the other household and all their family members. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a tough one. It's definitely a good one, but a tough one, because I know myself included, I don't know if this has happened to you, but you know, you'll call them when they're not with you and be like, oh, I miss you. And you know, you want to say these things and you want them to know that you're feeling sad or that you miss them, but subconsciously you're almost making them feel guilty for not being with you. And I think during, you know, I can say that that happens on a regular basis. And then adding the holiday stress into it, you know, for me, Christmas Day is kind of like a whirlwind because I have kids coming and going kind of all day on different schedules. And then at the end of the night, Christmas night, it ends up being me, my husband, and our two littlest, and everyone else is gone. And it's always sad because you're like, oh, like all the hustle and bustle of the day. And now you're down to like just the core four. And, you know, it's kind of like you're happy, but you're sad at the same time. And, you know, I want to call and like find out what everybody's doing and talk to everybody else that's in at their other houses. But I try not to because I know that would make them feel guilty and be worried about us here, you know, not alone, but without everyone.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, and I appreciate you saying that so much because it's the opposite for me. So I never have my older daughter on Christmas Eve, and I feel like, okay, if I can just like muscle it through Christmas Eve by myself, then I'll have her back with me on Christmas Day, and I can just, relax and, just really enjoy that time. But it's, it makes me feel good as a single person for to hear you say that as like a family of four that you still feel that missing. It makes me feel like there's not something wrong with me, that you can also feel that loneliness when you're around three of your, beloved family members. And I totally get what you're saying, because as much as I want to, FaceTime my daughter on Christmas Eve and see what present she's getting, I know that would be an intrusion to her, and it would really be like detrimental to her for me to, insert myself in that whole relationship that's going on at the moment. So I think that's kind of one of the hard parts about a blended family, is sometimes you do have to just sit with those feelings of like, oh, this is not great, but there are great times coming, or we, had a great day. And that is challenging.
Absolutely. And I think that that's, that feeling of, oh, like you want to call, but you're right, it is an intrusion and they're doing their own thing. And not that they're not thinking about us, or not that they don't miss us, but they're busy. They're having fun. They're kids. They're around their other grandparents. They might have other siblings or cousins or whatever. They're getting Christmas presents. Like, they're not thinking about, oh, I wonder what my mom's doing. They're busy. And I usually don't call that night for the same reason. Like, I know he's busy doing his new toys and whatever else, but at the same time, you go to bed and you're like, okay, somebody's missing. And I don't know that it matters if you have only one child and you're alone, or if you have 10 kids and you're down to six. Like, I think the feeling, because you're not, it's the whole family's not whole.
I think that's a really good point. I never thought about it that way, but it feels, really true. And I think your point about not intruding because your kids are having fun outside of you, they do have other cousins, and they do, maybe have other siblings and their grandparents. And I think that's like a journey in itself. I know it was for me, of really truly feeling happy for her being with the other side of the family. And maybe some people get there after 6 months or a year, and some people get there, in 7 years or 10 years, whatever it is. But I think that's the ultimate goal, is to, give up that anger and give up whatever, those resentments are, because your kid is good. They're having a great time, and it's hard for you, but if you can let go of any of that other negative stuff and just, hold on till you see them again, it just makes the whole experience that much easier.
It does. And while we say, like, you want to figure out the best time to call, your child or children to still be part of their holiday. So, I was actually talking to my mom and dad over Thanksgiving, because I was trying to remember, what did I do as a kid over the holidays? Because I was like, I don't remember waking up Christmas morning at my mom and my stepdad's house, or at home. Like, I don't remember. I couldn't, like, picture, where was I on Christmas morning? So, we talked about it, and my mom said that every Christmas Eve we would go to a party of their friends, and from there we would drive to my aunt's house. So I would wake up Christmas morning at my aunt's, which, once she said it, I totally remembered. And then my dad would join us there for breakfast, and then I would leave with my dad for like the next however long break was, 2 weeks, a week, however long Christmas break was. And my mom was like, and it was awful. Like, you would leave and you'd be gone for like a long time. But that was, I lived in New Jersey and my dad lived in Pennsylvania. So that was the compromise. My mom would drive up to her sister's in Pennsylvania, and my dad would come and do breakfast, and we'd all kind of be together. And then he would take me. And, she didn't have any more kids. So, they would come home and it would just be her and my stepdad. And she said it was really tough. But I had another thought as you're saying. Oh, so I remember, for me, like, not necessarily holiday wise, but when my son would go to his dad's, and if his dad like went out, that weekend, or he wanted to go somewhere, and he would leave my son with his mom, I would get so angry. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, this is supposed to be your time. Like, I'm not giving up my time for her, like,
right.
my mother-in-law. Like, right. And I love my mother-in-law to death. We have a great relationship today, even. But I remember feeling like, what the heck? And, you know, fast forward a few years, this happened last weekend. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm glad he's having fun with, you know, getting some time with his grandma and hanging out with his cousin. And it totally didn't bother me at all.
So true, right? Like how the same exact situation years later can be like, oh, that I can see the benefit of that. But when you're, you know, so new to it, it's like, that's total bullshit. You know, exactly. Like I can't believe he's doing that. And yeah, I think that's a really good point. And, you know, honestly, any like divorce judge would say, you know, the father can do what he wants to do on his time. If he's sure. working, like, you know, his mother can watch the kids. It doesn't mean that he, you know, it defaults back to you, which is kind of like a good framework to remember when you are getting mad, but it still doesn't hurt any less. But I think that's just a good example of, you know, the progress that you make. And when you were saying, you know, the story about you growing up, my first impression was like, what a good example that is to share, because clearly, you know, whatever your mom and dad did, it wasn't traumatizing to you where you were like, oh my God, I woke up in my aunt's house. And like, that's totally ridiculous. You know, you couldn't even remember about it. Like
I know.
Things that we, you know, like slave over and just sweat the details so much. Like you had no idea until someone reminded you of it. So
that's a good point. Yeah, because we stress out over every little detail so much. And you're right, 20 years from now, they might not even recall.
Right. Did you walk down the stairs of my house on Christmas morning, or did I go pick you up and you ran into the house on Christmas morning? You know, the bottom line is you got like a shit ton of toys. So it all worked out for you.
Right.
And then I was also thinking, you know, what a great thing that your mom and dad did. That's an excellent example of a good transition, you know, of they met at a place, they spent time. So you were like settled in and then you left with your dad, as opposed to, you know, picking you up from your mom's house or your mom dropping you off. That in my experience, having like that neutral ground is such an easier way to transition a child from one parent to the next.
Right. And I think I totally agree with you. And especially on the holidays, because, you know, as kids, you're so excited about getting your toys and you don't want to leave those toys. And then you know, you're always in flux and in transition yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can still clearly remember those feelings for myself. So now, you know, watching my son and my stepdaughters do it, I kind of am aware of that and, you know, trying to make sure that they feel comfortable and really trying not to make them feel guilty. Like, I think one of the things you and I had talked about mentioning on this podcast was that you want to give them the freedom to be happy in both places. So, you know, like, what would you say to your daughter as she's going out the door or when you talk to her later to convey that message?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's just what you do, you know, what I do every Sunday morning of like, okay, today's Sunday, today's your day with dad, you're going to have an awesome day, you're going to, you know, go swimming, you're going to go, you know, out on the sailboat, you're going to do all the things that I don't do with her, and just make it really fun and exciting. And like, yes, you should do that with him, because you're not going to do that with me. And I think it's just, you know, a variation of that with the holidays. So even though, you know, it's difficult for us as the adults, and I, you know, really miss her when she's there, you know, I would no way ever want to say anything that would, you know, insert that into her memory, because now she's, you know, almost six, and she's very perceptive, and she, you know, can read me, and she can sort of like over, you know, I'm sure you know with your kids, they hear every conversation and ask questions immediately. So, you know, you have to, like, in AA, they'd say, like, you got to fake it till you make it. You really do have to fake being happy until you can genuinely be happy.
Yep, I completely agree. And my son is very, very intuitive to my emotions. Like, he can look at my face and say, why are you sad, mommy?
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to completely fake it. And that being said, I agree that we should do that. But as he's getting older, I'm finding that I don't always have to fake it. Like, sometimes I want him to know how I feel. Maybe in this situation, or maybe just because he said something mean to me, but I think it's important that they, like, view us as, you know, people and not just parents, so that, you know, yes, mom has emotions and yes, she's sad, but I'm okay. Like, yes, I'm sad, I miss you, but I'm okay. But, you know, thanks for recognizing it and calling me to say goodnight.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's a great lesson. Yeah. For somebody, you know, like your son is, you know, he's what, 8 now?
8. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, you know, that's, there's like a complexity in life. There's a complexity in emotions. You can be happy and a little bit sad. And sometimes things are like in conflict or you have a dilemma. So yeah, you know, I'm going to work, but I'm also sad that I'm leaving you, or you're going to go with dad, but you know, I'll see you in a day or two, but I'm going to miss you in the meantime. So yeah, I think that's good, because then your son knows you are being authentic. You're not just like BSing him.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you said about, you know, like almost giving your daughter like the pep talk for going with dad, I think is really amazing and like good for you, because not everybody is capable of doing that, especially if the dynamic between, you know, you and your ex is not good. It's difficult to be like, yeah, you're going to have a great day with daddy, even though I think he's a, you know, bad word.
right. And I think that just, you know, like, we're so in tune with our kids that I knew what that ripple effect would be if I put out a negative emotion. You know, if I made it about me, or if I made it a negative experience for him, you know, that's only going to have a ripple effect on all of us. And that's just not in her best interest. So I think maybe a time or two, if I, you know, hedged on that a little bit and went towards like feeling sad about it, I could, you know, immediately in that moment see how that wasn't going to go well. So, and I do feel like, you know, now it is authentic, and then it was a little bit more of a struggle, but that's what needed to be done, you know, as moms do, as we do as parents, that's, you do what's best for your kid.
Yes, I totally agree. So moving on to our next topic, we are saying to kind of alleviate some of the stress and try to keep it all merry and enjoying the time is to lower your expectations of what you think it's going to be or what it's always been, and to kind of come up with new traditions. So if, you know, you've always done Christmas Eve for, you know, all 15 years you've been married, but now, you know, somebody's remarried and their family also does Christmas Eve, so now your ex wants your kid and you want your kid on the same night. What do you do, and how do you navigate that gracefully to keep the peace and, you know, make the holiday a good time?
Yeah, I think, you know, it is about being flexible. And, you know, in my experience, that when you can be flexible, I think, you know, it sort of has to come from the inside out. You have to feel at peace with things to really be okay with being flexible, because otherwise it feels kind of like forced upon you. So I think that's the only way around it, because there are so many variations, you know, like at any point in time. Like my friend, you know, I was just texting with her earlier, and her son's birthday is tomorrow, and she was, you know, going to take the day off and do all these awesome things. And she's at urgent care right now, you know, with him having her infection. So, you know, like the best laid plans. So I think just being flexible and trying to stay in communication, and just know, you know, that in the same vein of like you waking up, you know, at your aunt's house, it's all good. You know, it's going to be a great day. It doesn't matter if you're celebrating on the 24th or the 25th at night, in the day. Honestly, like my daughter and I, with her dad, we have written in our custody agreement that we're going to switch every other Christmas Eve of where she wakes up. And this Christmas Eve, I was like, I don't even remember whose turn it is. And I don't, you know, really care at this point, because the bottom line is she's going to be exhausted on Christmas Eve. She's going to come home from her cousin's house, and she's going to wake up. And I kind of feel bad at this point of like denying her the opportunity to wake up at her dad's house and then to come with me, you know, just because I need her in that moment. So I think you just, in the end, it's just about being flexible. I don't know. How about for you?
I think that's amazing. And I feel, what's the word I want? Motivated by you that you're that at peace with it. And I think that that's really amazing because I don't think I'm at that much at peace. And it's been 7 years for me. Because I don't know, like I guess I'm kind of set in my tradition ways. And I also, you know, having the other siblings, you know, I've kind of created a tradition with them. So I feel like if I were to say, okay, you can have him Christmas Eve and he can wake up there, well, what about his brother and sister that are here now without him?
Yeah.
So I have not come to grips with that. And I kind of don't think I'm going to. I want to kind of keep this tradition. We're really amicable and we're flexible with everything. But, you know, my dad comes down for Christmas Eve and we kind of do Christmas Eve with all of us. So my dad and my husband and I, and then all six kids are here Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Eve around 10 p.m., the older girls go to their moms and they sleep there and have Christmas morning there. My three stay here. We have Christmas morning. And then at like 10 a.m., my son goes with his dad. My girls come back home and we do like a second Christmas.
Right.
And then around 4 o'clock, they leave again and my son comes home and we have dinner with my mom and dad and we do a third Christmas with their presents.
Oh my gosh.
And then my son goes back with his dad for a couple days.
Yeah.
So it's like a total like chaotic mess, but I just, you know, we've done the new tradition. So I definitely do like a group gift or whatever the gifts are on Christmas Eve, that whatever I want to give to everybody, that's the same.
Yeah.
Because Christmas Eve is the only time I have all of them in the same place at the same time.
Absolutely. And I think that's totally okay. You know, then your ex needs to be the flexible one. You know, like I'm in a situation where there are, you know, all grandparents live within 30 miles of each other. You know, both parents live within 30 miles of each other. So, you know, and we split the week and we're pretty easygoing like that. But if you have, you know, that many players involved, then yeah, like you have to be the one that's sort of like accommodated as opposed to one that is like, you know, profusely accommodating. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that because most people that know you are like, I don't know how she does it.
It's definitely a lot of planning. I had like the little fear. I don't know if it's a fear. Fear might not be the right word, but the little notion lately, like I've been going through all this time as the bonus mom and the mom and the planner, and I'm, you know, we're doing all this. But my son does not have a stepmom.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking lately, like, how am I going to feel and what's going to change if that ever comes into the picture? What if he has a sibling on that side of the story?
I know.
And now, like, I've just been thinking about this lately, and I'm, because of our podcast, so I'm trying to like wrap my head around how that plays into it. Because right now, like you said, he's able to be more flexible because he's single and, you know, he doesn't have all this other stuff going on like I do. But what if that changes?
Yeah. You know, what's funny is this happened to me in the last couple months where, you know, I'm always the organized one too, like to the degree where I found it like annoying about my ex that he's so just like la 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 la, like just flighty. And I found myself recently being the one of like, oh crap, like where's her uniform shoes, like where's her gym outfit, I don't have the right clothes on the right day, or I forgot to send this in. And it's almost kind of nice like having a backup, like, you know, my ex's girlfriend, she does the laundry, she's getting everything together. Like, it's almost like a shared responsibility. So in a way, it can kind of be a relief because, yeah, I would like to think of myself as a super on top of it person, and I can do that at work most of the time, but I got kids coming and going and, you know, up and down the Parkway, like all over the place. Like, how can one person keep it all together? So in some ways, like, it might be nice for you that you don't have to keep everything together. It's kind of like having a wingman.
Yeah, or like a sister wife.
Yes. Get it, Utah people.
I think that's good. Like, that is like the, you know, I'm having trouble finding the words I want tonight. But what you just said is the exact model that we're thinking about, like doing all of this gracefully. Like, you just told me that you will, you know, embrace, you know, the stepmom on the other side because she's like your backup or your sister wife.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, I think personality comes into that too. Like, she's just a nice person. If she was like a raging bee, I'm sure I'd have a lot of other thoughts about it. But
sure.
It's just, you know, working out well. So, but yeah, I think that is the ideal. And it feels good. It feels like, you know, just really easy. Like, I don't think about it hardly at all. It's just kind of a nice thing.
So I have another topic mm-hmm. idea for you. So gifts. What and how do you handle giving gifts? So your daughters, they're still young enough. So do you buy them gifts to give their dad, or do they make gifts, or how do you guys handle that situation?
Yeah, it's funny because that's what I was doing this weekend, you know, just starting to plan out my list. And then I forgot like the dads at the bottom. I was like, oh, them too. Okay, we got to get stuff for them. I think, you know, and it's even like my girls are 3 years apart, 2.5 really. So this is the first year where I'm doing joint gifts, like a couple things, because they would otherwise I'd have to buy two of everything. So I think it's even interesting, like with the kids and where they're coming and when they're opening presents of do you do individual gifts? Do you do joint gifts? Like a thing that I struggle with, and I don't know if this is true for you, you know, when like your son was a little younger, of like where you leave the toy. So I bought you this toy and you just got it. And of course you're not going to want to let it go and leave it here. You want to take it to the next house. But I know as soon as you get to the next house, all the pieces are going to be missing. It's never going to come back. And I just spent a lot of money on that. So, you know, for me, most of the time we have like clothes that stay here. Or if she leaves in clothes, they get returned to me. Toys, we've been doing really a good job about. If she leaves with a toy that they know is mine, she comes back. It's like in her bag that we, you know, transport. But on Christmas Day, it's like all things, you know, just fly out the window. So like last year, she had a little like pet doggy, and it had like a bowl and a house, and you know, like it was like a whole entourage of crap we had to pack up and keep transporting back and forth. So I think that's like one thing about what do you do with the gifts. How has that been for you? Have you had figured that out about gifts going back and forth?
It kind of has evolved, I would say. In the beginning with my son, he would bring everything home. So we're, you know, all the 17 different houses he went to,
right,
you know, everything would come home. And now he kind of just picks and chooses because his dad has his own place now. So, you know, he'll say, I want to leave this at dad's, or I want to bring this home. So we kind of just let him choose.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls, let's see, the oldest leaves everything here, or takes it back with her to college if you know, it's something she wants. And then Aubrey, that's still going back and forth, she usually takes everything back to mom's unless – same thing, like I say, okay, this is something I want to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Because same thing, like you, it doesn't come back. The clothes, same thing. We went like on a whole shopping spree a few months ago, and there's literally nothing in her drawers, and when she comes here, she's like, I have nothing to wear.
Right.
Where are all your clothes?
Yeah.
But she's old enough now to pack her own bag and go back and forth. When they're littler, like, and I'm still packing the bags, you know, you have to do the same thing. You either don't send them and stuff unless you're sure it's going to come back.
Yeah.
Or just be specific and say, hey, I'm sending him in this, and I need you to make sure it comes home again.
Yeah. And in terms of gifts for the dads, I am I do like to buy them something, and I make it from the kit. So it's not for me, because that would be weird. Or maybe not. I don't know. For other people, it might not be weird. It's weird for me. So I'll say, like, what do you want to get, Dad? And we're pretty, like, specific, like, hey, what can Rylan get you? You know? And it's usually, like, oh, a gift certificate to the movies. Like, something they can do together, which is actually –
That's cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like a sweatshirt of a place that they like or something like that. So that's how I handle gifts for the other person. How about you?
I always do like a grandparent gift, and I tend to give his dad like the same thing depending on what I do. But so I alternate between doing calendars with like all the kids' pictures,
mm-hmm.
and mugs or travel mugs with all their pictures. And then I just make, like, for the three grandparents that are grandparents to everybody, I do all the kids. And then for his dad and his mom, I do, like, one with just Lucas on it.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah.
And then I usually let them, like, make something handmade, too, to kind of go along with it.
Yes.
And recently, in the last few years, my husband and my ex-husband exchanged bottles of whiskey or scotch or something. So they each buy each other something, too.
Oh, that's nice.
It is. It's, you know, I think my ex actually started it because he would come here for dinner. So he would, you know, brought something because he didn't want to come empty handed. So then we started getting him something too, just so, you know, everybody. And then my dad brings something for my ex also. And it's lots of love going around.
Yeah. So many people and so much booze.
Yeah. That's always good, right?
Yes, for sure.
So last year, I want to say maybe 2 years ago, was the first year that my youngest stepdaughter got me a gift for her. And I remember it. I think it was 2 years ago, because I'm trying to remember what the gifts were. But, you know, they do their holiday shops at school. And for the first, like, 4 years that my husband and I were together, she would come home with something for everybody except for me. And I would never say anything. Of course, I noticed, but I would never say anything. And she would say, my mom wouldn't let me get you anything.
Oh.
Right. And I'm like, oh, like, I just, you know, you feel bad for her because she obviously feels guilty. And I feel sad because I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then I'm angry because I'm like, why would you do that?
Right.
But the last few years she has been. And it's super sweet. Like, 1 year she made me something. And then, you know, they buy, like, the very large cubic zirconia earrings and like all the
perfect
stuff at the holiday shop that you're like, oh, I love it.
These $4 earrings are amazing.
Amazing.
And my ears are turning green.
Yeah. But I remember feeling like really hurt in the beginning and not able to say anything, right? Like, you can't show that feeling. But I like the idea that, you know, I remember offering, well, who's getting a gift for your mom? And while the female in me wanted no parts of doing that, she was single at the time. Like, all three kids were here. Dad and their mom don't speak. So are you guys going to, like, show up to Christmas and have nothing to give your mom?
Right.
Like, I used to feel badly about that because I'm like, oh, that's not, like, and so I would offer. And I think 1 year I did take them to get her something. And then since then, like, other people have stepped in, and now, you know, the oldest is 20, so she takes care of it. But it was, you know, it's just a different dynamic.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome, that's blending gracefully. You know, the fact that you could, like, step outside of yourself and be like, hey, we need to get your mom something because no one's going to get her something. Your dad's not going to do it for obvious reasons. So, you know, I'm going to be the one that takes you to do it. I think that's fantastic. And then, you know, the girls just pick up from you and then, like, reciprocate back to you of, like, okay, well, who's getting Carrie something? Well, you know, you can get her a pencil or a Brett or something. It's, you know, just more symbolic that you were thinking about her. Even the little ones, just, you know, making a card or making a little, like, you know, noodle necklace or whatever it is. You know, I think that's just nice to acknowledge everybody.
Definitely. Right.
Yeah.
And just the thought that counts, you know, mm-hmm. like gift giving should be, that they thought of you.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. I think we are about out of time. Any other thoughts you want to share?
No, I just think I'm thankful for you. I know it's not Thanksgiving, but I'm thankful for you and I'm thankful for the podcast and I'm thankful, you know, to be able to talk about how to blend families. So I hope everybody has a great holiday and we'll see you all in the next episode.
Sounds good. So we hope we shared something helpful for you guys tonight. If something resonated with what you're going through, let us know and share our podcast with your friends. Our goal is to help us all step up in our parenting skills and to blend gracefully. See you next week on the Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Cheers.
Cheers.